I would like to read to you, first of all, from Mark, 13th chapter of the book of Mark. You will open up your Bible. Mark chapter number 13, and I am going to be reading there just two verses, and then one verse in Psalms chapter 19. 13th chapter of Mark's Gospel, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples saith unto him, Master, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here. And Jesus answering said unto him, Seest thou these great buildings? There shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 9. Bible said through the psalmist, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." And from that correlation of scriptures tonight, I want to preach to you on the subject, "The judgments of the Lord are true." The judgments of the Lord. I'm not here to scare you tonight. I'm just simply here with a message from the Lord to try to reason with you and I in this time and era that we live in, where from politicians to sports stars, everybody manages to dodge the bullet. Everybody manages to escape and not have to pay the consequences of their sin, of their wrongdoing, and the powerful effect that that has upon all of us. To get the idea that some of the things we read about in the Bible, maybe, just maybe, I too can escape if I live contrary to the Word of God. But I'm here to preach to you the judgments of the Lord are true. They are true. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. God, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you, Savior, for your help, for your strength, for your anointing, for your beautiful spirit, oh God, to rest, I pray, Savior, upon me now, God, as I strive to be obedient unto you and that you have put in my heart. I'm praying, God, throughout the entire continuity of this camp meeting, Lord, let a special touch of your spirit be upon the ministry of the Word of God. We are your people, oh God. We are striving to be the bride that you want us to be, Lord. And I'm praying, God, in Jesus' name, enable us, oh God, to understand and believe your word, God. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word shall never pass away, God. I trust you now in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. The text that we read in Mark chapter 13 is the occasion where the disciples of Jesus Christ are standing and they are looking and beholding a marvelous phenomenon, a wonder of the world, if you please, that very, very few people had had the privilege of seeing, the magnificence of Herod's temple that had been built there. They were awestruck by it, seeing and commenting about the grandeur of it and seeing the size of the stones that was built by it. And in the process of their amazement of that temple that is there, the scripture said Jesus used it as an occasion for a little teaching lesson to reinforce in their mind and our mind from now until eternity that when God says something, it will come to pass.
No matter how absurd it seems, no matter how impossible it stretches your mind and mine and our imaginations to think that just cannot happen. It's impossible. You see, Herod the Great was a Jew with one foot loyal to Rome and the other foot loyal to Jerusalem. And there was a divided sense of loyalty within him, but the roots and the upbringing that beckoned him to the Jewish faith caused him to build that temple that was second only to Solomon's temple built there in Jerusalem. It was built over a period of many years, and if you will study Josephus and other historians, you will find out that that temple was still under construction when Jesus, at age 12, went up to Jerusalem with his mother and father. It was something that he, as a wide-eyed boy, was able to look and wonder about what was going on. I'm sure you've done the same thing as I have. You've visited old home places and gone back to sites that were familiar to you as a child, and you end up saying, wow, I always envisioned it to be a whole lot bigger than this. I always thought that it had a little more pizzazz than what it really has. But Jesus had been there as a young boy and looked upon the actual construction and how they were doing it and putting it all together. It wasn't something that we think in terms of this nice large tabernacle that is here. Here, the Temple Mount, my friend, covered the equivalent of 15 football fields, and it was a very, very large place where this temple had been constructed, erected for the glory of God. And the Bible comments about the size of the stones that were there. If you've ever been privileged to go and visit Palestine, you've stood beside the Wailing Wall and you've looked at them gigantic stones that are still in place. It's not the temple, but it is the Wailing Wall that was one side of that Temple Mount that was there. One of those stones that's in place on that wall, they have calculated to weigh 560 tons. 2,000 years later, with all our intelligence and industrial age, man has yet to build a crane that is powerful enough to lift a stone that weighs 560 tons. But that was just one of the stones that were there, and all of them had been erected and built and put in place, and they tried to explain how they think that it was built and how they think that they got the stones all in place. But it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that it was an amazing spectacle to stand beside those stones and wonder how did this happen? How could something this magnificent have been built and there virtually immovable? The Wailing Wall has stood through 2,000 years of earthquakes and other natural disasters that have come and not budged one of those stones. That's why it makes the pronouncement of judgment that Jesus made to that temple seem utterly impossible. He looked at them mouths gaping and he said, boys, if you think this is something, he said, let me pronounce a judgment of the Lord that is going to come upon this temple. He said, it's coming and not one stone is going to be left upon the other. I'm sure they gulped, swallowed hard a few times, and said, earthquakes, can't budge these stones. Nothing that we know of has the capability of knocking these things over. And you are telling us that not only is the temple going to be broken down, but it's not going to be broken down like all of the other ruins and antiquities that we have seen, where there's part of a wall left standing, where there's part of a structure that's there. You mean you're telling us, Jesus, you're pronouncing that judgment, that when that day comes, not one of these stones are going to be left on top of another. He said, that's right. They spoke back and said, how can these things be? How in the world could anything like that ever come to pass? We don't want to doubt your word, Lord, but we cannot rationalize how that a judgment of that magnitude and that severity could ever come that would move these stones like they were dominoes and scatter them all over the temple grounds. Let me tell you, friend, you and I would do ourselves a favor if we would get inside of the Word of God and study every place in that Bible where God pronounces a curse. Amen. To get our nose in that book and say, God, I want to read it. I want to study it. Because if I can't comprehend it and it boggles my mind, I've still got proof in the Word of God that the judgments of the Lord are true. And if you said it, brother, look out, that settles it. It is going to come to pass. When God wanted to train the children of Israel about the blessings and the curses of God, He took them out and divided the tribes. Put half at Mount Ebal, put the other half over at Mount Gerizim. And there in the book of Deuteronomy, amen, He explained to them about the curses and the blessings of the Lord. I'm not here to preach to you a negative message. I want to tell you, those blessings of the Lord are equally true. Hallelujah. If God said it, you can go to the bank on it, friend. Amen. You do that, and the Almighty God is going to bless you. But we've gone to seed in Christianity today with the prosperity doctrine and all of the blessings that are promised to be fulfilled in our life. Amen. Let me tell you, as sure as the blessings come, the curses will also come, according to God's word. The very first curse that's ever mentioned that I can find in the Bible is an amazing thing. Because with all of the emerging technologies that are happening in this century that we live in, people think, well, God really didn't write about this and that and the other and all of those things that are there. But the very first curse that God pronounced, amen, upon all of mankind that I can find is Deuteronomy 7:26, where the Lord said, amen, you better not bring a cursed thing into your house. Whoa, what a God. He looked all the way down through the annals of time. He said, I got technology and the tiger by the tail. Nobody is going to get ahead of me. I know what I'm talking about. He said, you bring a cursed thing into your house. He said, the problem is that you will become just like it. Hallelujah. Now, there's a lot of people that have tried to prove that judgment of the Lord is not true. There's a whole lot, amen, of oneness, apostolic people that have tried to dodge that bullet and thought they got by with it successfully, of saying, I can do it and keep from becoming just like it. Let me tell you, friend, some of you are getting the shocks of your life, I'm sure, and in living in settings like this, other than California where I live, where now all of a sudden you're seeing, amen, that it's suddenly so popular for guys to wear earrings and to walk around with them in their ear. Hey, just 10 years ago, amen, you would not see that. Amen, that was something that was way out of limits. You know what happened about 10 years ago? Amen, the cursed thing that had been brought into the house, the stars started putting it on, started saying it looks cool. Amen. It's right. It's okay for guys to do this. That's all right. 10 years later, my friend, society is just like it. They're just like it. Amen. God said it. It came to pass exactly like He said it would be. If you bring it there, you're going to become just like it. Some of you are saying, no, 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 you keep it up and your sons are going to become just like them. You keep it up and your daughters are going to become just like them, because the judgments of the Lord, they are true. You might not understand how it happens, but God said that's how it happens, friend. It's a curse from God. It's a judgment from the Lord. You will become just like it. You think homosexuality is bad now? You think lesbianism is bad now? Hang around. If the Lord doesn't come in the next 10 years, they're just now introducing on the tube, amen, open mouth kisses, amen, between two lesbians, between two homosexual men. Stick around, my friend. Those that want to keep trying to disprove God's curse, amen, 10 years from now, amen, they're going to be just like them. They're going to be just like them. Amen. It's going to happen exactly the way that God said it was. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, the judgments of the Lord are true. Hallelujah. They are true. Amen. The Bible teaches us, cursed be the man that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Can I tell you, God hates a hypocrite. God hates a hypocrite. Hallelujah. God has mercy upon sinners, but God promised cursings upon the hypocrite. Why are you saying this, Brother White? Because our churches today are full of people that have seared their conscience to the place, amen, that they know they're living in sin. They know that they've committed immorality. They know the actions. But yet they'll still come up on the platform and sing and play and participate in leadership. Amen. I promise you, friend, it ain't me that wrote that curse. It's the Almighty God that said, cursed be the man that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Hallelujah. I try to teach it in my church at home. Amen. And I'm sure they don't all obey it, but I try to teach it to them. Amen. That if there's sin in your life, amen, you'd be better off going through a nuclear power plant with a leaking, amen, reactor, and exposing yourself to the shore more judgment that radiation would be than for you to keep on singing in the choir with sin in your life, than for you to keep on being an usher with sin in your life, because the judgments of the radiation are only temporal, but the judgments of God, they are eternal. And God promised a curse upon anyone that was bold and brazen enough to do the work of the Lord hypocritical. Amen. Oh God, we need a revival of the fear of the Lord in our midst. We need a revival, amen, of exceedingly trembling like they did at Mount Sinai. We need a revival, amen, like the elders at Bethlehem, trembling when Samuel came walking up to the gates of the city. We need a revival of understanding that the judgments of the Lord are true. They're true. You can't hire a big enough lawyer to get you off the hook. You can't hope to persuade the jurors. There is no jury system with heaven. Amen. Off on some glitch or some technicality. Friend, this black back book is forever settled in heaven. You're not going to mock it. I'm not going to mock it. We're not going to get by with it. But there upon Mount Ebal, he gave to them the curses of Deuteronomy 27. Amen. He promised them a curse if they involve themselves in idolatry. He said, I'm telling you, if you get to worshiping other gods, even in a secret place, God said, I'm going to bring a curse upon you. It's coming your way. You mark it down. Amen. Oh, thank God for pure apostolic young people. Amen. That their idols are not movie stars. Their idols are not sports stars. Their idols are not, amen, the things of this world that involve them in idolatry. Thank God for that. Thank God, amen, for elders among us, that their idols are not money. It's not bank accounts. It's not the greed of this world. It's not the things. Because there's a curse that God promised would come your way and my way if we involved ourselves in idolatry. He said, chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, verse number 16. He said, there's another area of curse that I don't want you to forget about. He said, and that is a curse for those that disrespect their parents. Can I preach to you just a little bit? Can I preach to you just a little bit here? I'm not just talking to children here. I'm telling you, the plague of this goes all the way through the 20s and the 30s and into the 40s nowadays. And I even know people in their 50s that are so disrespectful to the honoring. Let me tell you, friend, that's one of the 10 pillars that the whole thing is built upon, is honoring your father and your mother. Amen. But the Lord said in chapter 27, verse number 16, he said to them, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother, and all the people shall say, Amen. We're living in a terrible, terrible society where the national heroes are Bart Simpson and Beavis and the other dingbat that want to do their very best to show how disrespectful you can possibly be toward your mom, toward your dad, how much you can mock them, how much you can make fun of them, how old-fashioned in the dinosaur era that they live in. Oh, you better be careful. Hey, man, this generation doesn't understand this Bible. This Bible says you got a curse coming down the pike if you make light of your mother or your father. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pardon me, but I feel it strong on me here tonight. Amen. What kind of a society is it, amen, where to get your little 12-year-old girl an aspirin at school, they have to have a written note from you. But they can take that same girl down and get her an abortion without you knowing anything about it. What kind of a mess are we in? This Bible teaches us, amen, to honor our father and our mother. That word means they're the heavies in our life. They're the heavyweights. I'm telling you, when it's time for you to choose a college, when it's time for you to choose a mate, when it's time for you to choose where you're going to live, your mother and your father, according to the Word of God, are to have heavy influence in your life. But you think you've got by with it. But God said, no. You can't figure out how them stones are going to come down, can you, disciples? But you mark it down. If I pronounce the curse, it is going to come to pass. Third area that he mentioned here is he gathered them in that valley, hearing them curses and blessings echo back and forth. He said, you're going to be cursed if you participate in immorality. I know I'm in an apostolic camp meeting, but please, please give me the liberty here tonight. I know we want to hide our head in the sands. And we want to act like we think it doesn't exist among us. I know we do. And I'm not here, amen, slamming anybody. I'm preaching the burden of my heart here tonight. Amen, on this first night. There is a God that pronounced a curse on anyone. A teenager, a married man, a married woman. Anyone that involves himself in immorality. The Almighty God said whatever type of immorality it is. Mark it down. There is a curse that is coming your way. I know society has told you there's ways around all of that. There's ways around all of that. And they educate our kids about birth control in the sex education classes and agenda that they have. And they teach them and pass out condoms and try to convince them that that's a way around the curse. Let me tell you, friend, it might help protect you, amen, from STDs and from AIDS and from unwanted pregnancies. But God said, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing, there ain't no method, there isn't no device that you can find that's going to protect you from the curse. I said the curse is coming. I promised you a curse upon you if you involved yourself in immorality. Your bodies are the temple of God. You are dedicated and consecrated, my separated people. And if you behave like the heathen do, regardless of all of the tricks that you thought you did that protected you and cause you to escape from being caught, there is a God in heaven that still pronounced the curse. And He won't be outfoxed. He won't be outsmarted. Not by you, not by me, not by any other human being that's alive on the planet. He is the sovereign God. Oh, what are you saying, Brother White? I'm just trying to drive. I know for some among us it's too late, but I'm trying to drive it in the hearts of those, amen, that have gone to the boundary of immorality and hesitated and thought, can I do it and get by with it? Can I do it and get by with it? Can I do it and toyed with it and played with the idea? I'm here to scream at the top of my lungs to warn you, please don't. Please don't, sister. Please don't, brother. You will not get by with it. The judgments of the Lord are true. They're true. They're true. Your daddy may not have followed through with all the whippings he promised you. And you might have got around your mama on several areas of discipline in your life. But they're not God. And God said, my judgments are true. It will come to pass. Not one of these stones, Jesus said, is going to be left upon another. I have no doubt in my mind that the disciples scratched their heads many years later, after Jesus was already come and gone, as they walked past that temple and thought, he said it. It's still standing. I don't know when, where, or how, but everything else he said came to pass exactly right. One day it's going to happen. It was the year 70 AD, and the Roman general Titus, historians tell us, when he finally took the siege of the city of Jerusalem, he personally instructed all of his military commanders that were there with the instructions, don't let anybody light a fire within that temple that is there. We're going to conquer the city, mad and angry and taking back vengeance on them that have kept us out for all of this time. But absolutely no kindling of a fire of any sort, torch, anything, will be allowed inside of that temple. Many of them didn't know it, but what Titus understood is that those massive stones were made of native limestone. And native limestone is highly explosive. They didn't understand what he was trying to spare from happening there that day. And one of his soldiers, in a drunken stupor, amen, went in revelry inside of that temple to look around with a lit torch when nobody else was around, to see it and mock about the God of the Jews that were there. And accidentally, he brushed up against one of the curtains that was there. And it began to catch fire. The smell of the smoke and all of the realizing what was starting to happen. A fire was breaking out up on top of that temple mount. The historians say that the Roman general himself, he didn't send the fire department. He didn't send any of his underlings to go do it. He himself ran to the temple and tried frantically to beat down the flames that were there. Tried to put out the fire, but it was racing, getting away from him. He knew the inevitable that was fixing to happen. And so he ordered all of his men clear out, not only out of the temple, but completely off of the temple mount. Get out, get as far as you can. There's fixing to be an explosion like you have never seen happen before. Run as far as you can. Duck and hide for cover. Get out of the way. And as they finally cleared off, the flames intensified until the inevitable happened. It was the equivalent to a small nuclear explosion that took place. place inside of the walls of that temple that day. And true to the Word of God, those stones that no man or no crane or nobody, no earthquake could budge. In the explosion, it blew every last one of them off from on top of the other and scattered them so far that today you can't even find a remnant of a stone from that temple being there on the Temple Mount. You say, wow, Brother White, wow. I'm not here to give you a history lesson, but I'm here to tell you, as someone comes to the music, what you read about in the book of Revelation, what I read about of the coming judgments of the Lord upon our society, it seems so mind-boggling. We say, how could it be? How could one-third of the earth's population be wiped out just like that? Brother, just because your little peanut brain can't figure it out, you better not start doubting, because the judgments of the Lord, they're true. They're true. The plagues, the vials, the battle of Armageddon, the blood to the horse's bridle. You stand at that valley and try to figure out, how is it going to happen? But before your human rationale kicks in gear, you better go back to this Bible and say everything He ever said came to pass. Every judgment He ever pronounced happened exactly like He said. Here we stand, the last camp meeting, the 1900s. Here we are looking, peering into the unknown, trying to figure out what's going to happen. What's coming upon our world? Is it really, or are things just going to keep going on like they've always gone on? I beg you, in the fear of the Lord, you better relearn the scripture that the judgments of the Lord are true. It's going to happen exactly like He said it. Let's stand together. Maybe you're here tonight, this first night of camp meeting. Say, Brother White, have you come to try to hang me over hell and scare me? No. No. I've come to tell you that there is a merciful God that is waiting around these altars. If you've involved yourself in any of the areas of life that will bring the curses of God upon you, there is a God willing to accept your prayer of repentance. There is a God that loves you, that desperately doesn't want you to suffer the eternal judgments of God that are coming. And we have the privilege to seek after God. Say, God, I want to live from this day forward. I want to live a clean life. I want to live a pure life. I want to live in strict obedience to Your Word. Because even if I think my fancy footwork is going to get me, catch me if you can, out of the wrongs that I've done, I'm only fooling myself. God's judgments are true. They're true. Would you bow your head with me and close your eyes for a moment as we sing a song of worship? I wonder if there are souls that are here tonight that'd be willing to make the trip down the aisle to the altar at camp meeting.
Say, God, I want to straighten up every area of my life. I don't want your judgments to come upon me. Amen. Come as we sing. Lead us, Brother Spell.
Lead me, Lord,
I'll follow.
Anywhere you open up.
Yes, Lord.
The door.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I want to be saved, God. I want to live right.
Let your word speak to me.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Show me one.
Oh, God.
I've never seen before.
Don't let those curses come upon you, friend. Give your heart, your life to God.
Lord, I want to be a witness.
That's it. God bless you.
You can take
God bless you.
Me
oh, God. Oh, God. If I've let this society affect me, thinking that I could get by,
distortion down on
wake me up tonight, God.
Let
wake me
your
up tonight.
Love shine through me.
Oh, that's it.
In the night.
That's it. Come on. Let's bow before Him. Let's humble our hearts before Him.
Lord, I see you dying.
God, I won't get by.
Wounded by the Master.
You won't get by.
Of deceit.
God, cleanse my heart. Cleanse my spirit.
They're groping
wash
in
me,
the
God.
Darkness.
Wash me, Lord.
Blinded it. By the years.
Your word is true,
God.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's it.
And I see
come
you standing
come
near
on.
Me, Lord.
Come on.
Shining
see the greatest night
compassion.
Of your life. The greatest night of your life.
In your eyes.
Oh, yes. Yes, Lord. I'm going to live according to your word,
Jesus,
God.
Shine down on me.
Hallelujah.
Let your love shine through me.
Oh, yes.
In the night.
Yes, that's it.
Lead me, Lord.
Here I am,
follow.
Lord. Here I am, Lord.
Anywhere you open up.
I'm not going to believe the lie.
Adore.
The enemy is sold to my generation. I'm going to believe the word of God.
Let
yes,
your
I
word
am.
Speak to me.
Yes, I am, Lord.
Show me what I've never seen before. Lord, I want to be a witness. You can take what's wrong and make it right. This door shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here let your spirit move within me. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit move within me. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I give all myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. Let your spirit myself to you. Here I am. Here I am, Lord. Here I am. I know we have heard from God tonight. Amen. I appreciate so very much this message. Amen. Thank you, Brother White, for preaching to us tonight. All of us. Amen. The judgments of the Lord are sure. Praise God. Amen. This is the kind of service that makes you go home with you. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand together tonight and lift our hands, all of us, and
God,
thank God.
We thank you.
Let's thank Him for the word that we've heard tonight. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Amen. Amen, 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 amen. I know there's a lot of planning and work that goes into a meeting like this, but just this one service is worth everything that we've done. Amen. Just get
ready.
Amen. Thank you again, Brother White. Amen. I think I can speak for every minister that's here tonight and all the saints we've been preached to this evening. Praise God. In the morning, 10 o'clock, let's, amen. This, I see a sign out there that says prayer garden. This is a house of prayer. I want as many as can to come and pray an hour for the services tomorrow and tomorrow night, 11 o'clock for the gross. Amen. Hallelujah. What a wonderful night tonight. Now, most of the...